Welcome, everyone, back to another wonderful episode of Cosplay Con Crunch. I am your host, MJ, known on Instagram and TikTok as cosplay underscore Cajun, joined by my co-host, who now has to remember his new Instagram handle.
That's correct. I have created a dedicated cosplay Instagram account. I knew it was inevitable. Now people can stop following me, I guess, on my purple, or my... My personal account. People stop following me on my personal account. And they can follow me on my cosplay account, which is Right Joy-Con Rye. I did remember it.
He's remembering.
Took me a second.
And today we have a lovely, lovely guest and one of our close good friends. Can you introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Dan. You can find me on Instagram at Dan Does Dress Up, all one word.
All lowercase.
No, I'm going to trust characters. Y'all with the spelling. No special characters. Dan does dress up.
Mm-hmm. Present Mike. I can be Present Mike.
Oh, because you're loud. Unbeknownst to viewers.
Oh my God.
MJ shows up the lowest on my audio levels, which is ironic because MJ's picked up by all of the mics.
I am boisterous.
Oh my gosh.
But anyway, so Dan, we have you on for a very meaningful, very fun, very educational for Ryan episode of the pod.
It's not going to be a fun episode. Don't mislead viewers.
It's going to be fun because we're going to be shitting on creepy men. And that is one of my favorite hobbies.
I feel like it could be fun to listen to because we're going to be talking about the stuff that everybody always wants to know more about because we hear these stories.
Hear these experiences. You get a lot of like weird third person accounts of stuff that happened at cons. And you're now going to be getting first person accounts of what happens at cons. And Ryan is going to be edumacated on how to spot a creep. Because as much as I love you and as much as a handler you are, my dear, you have no creep detector.
I don't. I really don't. I remember one time we actually had all went together, the three of us and so many hoodies, to a Renaissance fair that was local to us here in New England. And there was a man who had started engaging with MJ. And
he was actively hitting on me and you did not pick it up.
And I was like, I don't know. He's just like, you know, drunk and he doesn't know what's going on. And MJ was just like, he was indeed doing stuff. And I didn't realize that's what was going on because MJ was so quick to just be like, yeah, fuck off. Right.
And Dab was ready for violence.
Oh, I was ready for violence.
And Ryan, after the fact, was like, why was Dab so ready to like fight that like drunk guy? Dan was like, I needed someone to like look at that guy and be like, shut the fuck up and go away.
That actually wasn't our first encounter with him. I believe you had even clocked him earlier in the day when we were maybe in.
And Ryan just wasn't there for that. Yeah. So many hoodies were off, I think, looking at swords.
We were looking at swords. That's very much
for both
like
those two and being at a Renaissance fair.
Exactly.
Oh man, I love sword. But you know, I think, and then at one point, I think I went to the bathroom as well, and I came back and I was like, oh, I think that's that guy. That's the fucking dude that, you know, is just following us around. I don't know. It's weird. I could definitely be better.
And after the fact, I was like, no, Ryan, that guy was a creep. And he goes, he was drunk. He was harmless. And I'm like,
no, he was not harmless.
He was not.
He was definitely not harmless. He was saying some fucked up shit.
Yeah, dude. I think that's the thing is that like, I look at like these guys and I've seen people like this. Like when I was in college, I feel like I've seen the archetype of this person. I'm like, I've met that guy.
Yeah.
That guy was, he didn't mess with me, but I don't think of it in the context of being at least like a femme presenting individual.
Yeah.
Right? So. Also, we've had a hectic day recording, so I'm going to shout out the drink we are drinking.
You like it?
It's very good.
Yes,
it's
nice. Right? I love this brand.
It is nice. So it's called the Little Sheep of France.
Little Sheep.
So the Little Sheep.
It's a wine brand.
Oh, it is a wine brand, and this is their rosé.
Rosie.
And I want to read the back because it's very funny. It says, rosé wines from France have a je ne sais quoi magic that are enjoyed by everyone around the world. The Little Sheep of France rosé is elegant with notes of red summer berries and delightful floral notes.
Say summer berries.
Yeah.
Yep.
Bruh.
There's summer berries and winter berries. Fruits have seasons.
Too. Oh, all right.
I know you don't know this, but they do. Smooth and beautifully balanced with fruit-forward flavors and hints of grenadine. That lead to refreshing, enjoyable finish. And so, if you can't tell, we're taking after the guys from Eric Cates, and we're drinking on the pod.
Oh, is that something they do typically?
Yeah, Spencer gets drunk every episode.
Nice!
It's very fun. I love him for
it. Oh my gosh.
Spencer will sip on the Picard alcohol.
Yes. If you've ever watched Star Trek. Did you ever watch Star Trek?
Bits and pieces.
Okay. He's a huge fan of Next Generation. And apparently they have their own wine and alcohol. So, yeah.
One of them was really good, and one of them apparently was, like,
quite trash. Yes. Okay. So, we're talking about creep factor, and we're kind of building off... We're building off what we've talked about in the last episode, which is, like, the commandments. Don't be a creep. Cosplay is not consent are kind of the two that we're hitting on in this episode. But we're also going to give one elaboration of what it looks like when you are breaking those commandments, but also, like, how you cannot. Like, how to, like, avoid that. So, Dan, how... do you feel like creeps at con present the most?
See, I don't want to generalize, but, like, of course, there does become this kind of archetype that you look out for. I will say one that I've noticed, and again, I'm not trying to make any generalizations, but goddamn, do ghost cosplayers really just find the audacity to do whatever they want?
You're talking about the Call of Duty ghost cosplay. Yes. Oh, my
Call
God.
Call of Duty,
yeah,
like, that's the like ghost a new guy. Thing. The, like, the skull face, like,
I think that builds
here.
Off something way bigger, which is...
totally.
People that cosplay male-presenting characters and identify predominantly as men...
Yes.
When they wear cosplays that have a fully covering face mask...
Oh, they become, like...
They have, like, that anonymity that they feel when they're online.
Online, yeah. Yes. It's, like, the anonymity of, like, leaderboards and, like, you
yeah,
know...
Yeah, absolutely.
And so I don't think you're making a generalization. I think you're pointing out the fact of it's, like, when someone is a little too comfortable for not getting called out...
Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah, it's the lack of accountability that they're looking for. That and, yeah, I think that definitely tracks. The other thing is it's a lot of times people who will, like, go out of their way to put all that attention or all of the pressure on somebody else rather than, like, engaging in just a conversation. Like, you're not going up to somebody and saying that you like their cosplay or asking a question about the fandom or something like that. You're... For example, at Anime Boston, you are being an obnoxious teenager in the middle of the Prudential Center and making a scene, coming up to people in cosplay, typically femme-presenting people, and, like, taking videos in their faces without, like, asking or just, like, really making a big deal to the point of very intentionally, you know, embarrassing or belittling them. And it's like...
Yeah, and I think there's a big aspect of that because, like, we had an experience at Anime Boston.
Oh, yeah.
That was great, which was on Friday night. We had to run up to Victoria's Secret and we were taking, like, a quick break. And the most excited, like, two teenage boys, one of them literally jumped, like, a yard in the... Like,
that
a meter
cute.
In the air.
That was
he, like,
cute.
Did, like, a little jump and a split. Like, you know, he reminded me of that green flag guy on TikTok.
Yes.
Like, that's what he reminded me of.
Yes. Yippee!
Like, he did.
what were you guys wearing on Friday?
You were...
I was in Nanami.
You were in Femnonomy, yes. And I was in streetwear in Yuyasha. Yes. But I had, like, a sports bra and an open jacket.
Yes.
Right. And I think I'd taken the jacket off because I was sweating.
Yes.
Right.
All true things.
And so, like, instead of being, like, running up to us and, like, forcing pictures and videos of us, he just went, "Hey, yo! Y'all look sick as fuck."
Yeah, we were sitting on the bench outside of it because my feet were, my dogs are barking.
Your dogs were barking.
My feet were.
I was over on the bench.
I was sitting over there on the bench. Yeah.
The amount of references that just occurred in that one sentence.
Anyway.
My. How can I resist you? Mama mia.
And this is what happens when not a single non-neurodivergent person.
No, Ryan's sitting over there. He just doesn't shout.
Guys, no, guys. What can I say?
He's just a normie. Normie in the corner.
Corner norm.
No, and that was great. Like, they had a great, and, like, they were super sweet. They asked, like, they were just excited to see people dressed up as characters they recognized. They also just thought we kind of looked cool.
Yeah.
And that was great. On Sunday, on the other hand, we had the inverse of that. A guy walking up to us quite deliberately and being like, "Can I take a picture of you guys from behind?"
Yeah. And for context, I know it's been brought up. I know you guys brought it up in the Anime Boston review.
But
we were in bunny suits, just as a reminder.
And
so
not a single ass cheek was covered.
Yeah. No. There was no forgiveness.
I was going to say, what would you say was your experience? Because you typically... cosplay femme or like femme versions of characters
or just female characters
or just female characters, like, whatever. What was your experience like on Sunday, from, I guess, like, start, like, getting ready to, like, going out and then ending with, like, the photo shoot?
Yeah, that's...
I feel like it'd be good to have a narrative.
You know? Yes. It's funny because I think more of my day than I really realized was impacted by my contacts. So for some context, I was wearing purple sclera contacts, mesh for my Shinobu cosplay.
Which, in sclera, means that, like, they go outside the pupil.
They go past the iris into the white of your eye. So they're, like, a lot wider. So, like, when you see people with, like, what, like, blackout contacts on, it's, like, the same deal. And I've worn these before, and it's been fine. But, like, for some reason on this day, they were just, like, really giving me a hard time, particularly my left one. Sometimes they do this thing where it'll get, like, stuck to the inside of my eyelid and start to, like,
I remember pull seeing up that with and it. Awful.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. So it was a combination of fear. Just discomfort and also, yeah, like fear of something happening, of it getting like lost or whatever. And so that was like definitely the forefront of my mind pretty much all day. I spent most of my time just focusing on that. But the bunny suit aspect of things, it wasn't awful. I've definitely had cosplays that I felt more uncomfortable in. See Zonami, which is the purple Nami dress with the gold beads where there's like open side panels. Oh, you literally
can't wear underwear.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, is that an outfit you've seen so far in the show or no?
No, Zo is an island. It's the island after Dressrosa, but before Whole Cake.
Yes, exactly. Okay,
gotcha. Spoilers, it's where Sanji gets kidnapped.
Yes.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, and then Luffy comes and rejoins and Nami tells him.
And Nami tells him, gives him the letter. Sora was like, if he wanted to leave, he'll be back. And then they split up and he sulks on the polar tang.
Exactly.
Season love. Season of love.
So that's the outfit. Definitely more uncomfortable in that one.
You look great in it, though. You know that. I've seen those pictures. You're great.
Thank you. I do like how it looks. It's just the fact that I know
there's nothing underneath
what's going into it. My discomfort with the bunny suit only grew as like comments were coming out. And like that's like that makes me so sad because it was like it could have very easily been like a really big confidence step for me because like self-confidence is never easy for anybody. But then, like, you know, getting people like the dude straight up asking us to turn around for a photo.
Yeah.
Or, like, you know, just like some of the comments that people were making on social media after.
And I think that's the biggest problem. As a cosplayer who cosplays female presenting characters or feminine versions of characters, is you end up with this very prevalent aspect of, like, when you post pictures after the fact, you have this second wave of anxiety of it's like, is everyone going to be cool about this or am I about to hate myself? And I remember that me and you got to talk a chance to talk while we were walking from getting dinner back to the hotel.
Yeah.
Of like, there's another layer of anxiety, at least for me, of it's like, I have posted boudoir photo shoots of like cosplays that I've done online. And those are very public and very open. And there's a weird level of it's like, I am simultaneously like very proud and very happy with those. And also I have met people that have known me from my Instagram and they're like, well, you posted that picture. Can I have a picture of you like this?
Exactly.
Oh, as in like, because you've posted a picture like that, you must be comfortable with anybody taking
a picture like that. And you had a great comment afterwards, after I told you that, which was, yeah, but you were in a safe and comfortable place and you chose which of those pictures to post. Because like, there are other pictures, fun fact, that are much more revealing from that same photo shoot. And they are mine and mine alone.
Oh, and for that one.
Ryan pointed to a picture of me in his office from a different photo shoot. I like boudoir. It's a really like...
If you have the extra money, it's definitely worth a shot. And it's very confidence booster.
Yeah. And it can be, because you are in a very safe space. And like the photographer that I work with, shout out to Mon Cher Boudoir. Like, she is insane and amazing. She's up here in Massachusetts and I love her so much. She's amazing. So if any New England cosplayers want to do a boudoir cosplay shoot, check her out. She's on Instagram and I love her dearly.
Good to know.
But no, like, I think, and that is the big part of it. Of it's like, no, you, when you do a photo shoot, you and the photographers choose which poses and which photos will be done.
Right.
Like, of that photo shoot that I did where it was all cosplays, I think we took, like, 120 photos. Yeah. And I picked 40 that I liked and felt comfortable with.
Oh, so it was up to you to choose the ones that out of the raws that you liked?
Yeah. So she edited a few of them and like picked, and she was like, these are the ones that I like. Which ones do you like? And then we went from there.
Okay, cool. I like that.
It's a bit a mix of both. She's like, these are the ones that can be edited the best.
Yeah.
And then from there. I think it goes back to the idea of it's like cosplay is not consent more than anything. And you end up with people if it's like, well, you're dressed like that in public, so clearly you must be okay with being perceived like that in public. And I think there's a difference between being perceived like that and just having, like, because there's a difference between like walking around and how clothing shifts when you're walking versus like getting it immortalized in a photo.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. Cause like when you're in a con setting, when you're walking around, when you're, you know, on the move, when there are people around you, you have so little control over so many aspects, whether it's somebody getting an unflattering angle or perhaps like upskirting somebody, which I know is a very common problem that some people do purposefully and it's terrible.
They have like a actually like decent system in Korea and Japan because you
upskirting was such a problem.
It was such a huge problem on trains that what you'll do is you'll have to play the audio like camera, like
you can't turn it off.
You can't turn it off.
And like, iPhones used to be that way.
Oh, really?
So iPhones, any phone sold in Korea or Japan, the only way to turn it off is to jailbreak your phone.
Yeah.
Or like, so like some people have the ability to buy them in the US.
But I think even the early versions of the iPhones that were, sold in the US, you couldn't turn the camera shutter off.
Yeah.
But that makes, I mean, I do get it. And I kind of, you know, part of me wishes it, but part of me is like, you know, sometimes I want to take a picture of a Baby Yoda figure without everybody knowing I'm doing it.
In theory, everyone's would be going off.
Exactly. Yeah. That's true.
No, I'm
so innocent. I'm sorry, Dan. That was such an innocent thought.
I'm sorry.
I just want to take a picture of the figure. I
just want to take a picture of the Whopper.
Whopper, Whopper.
I don't know.
Whopper. One of Dan's favorite Pokemon is Mudkip. Yes. And so it's become a side quest, really. At every convention we go to, we have to acquire as many Mudkips as possible.
And I'm still trying to acquire a single Whooper.
MJ's favorite Pokemon is Whooper.
It's Whooper.
Not Quagsire. Mm-hmm. The evolution of Whooper.
Quagsire looks wonky.
But you like Brown Whooper, right? Ground Whooper?
No.
Pooper?
You don't like Ground Whooper? Pooper? God damn!
And that's why. He looks like a Pokemon.
No. He's just a little dude, man. So he's a cool guy. So he's ground type. He's ground type. He's not water.
I don't care.
Oh, shit.
I also like Leafeon. So that's the Pokemon that I'm kind of trying to do a cosplay of is Leafeon.
Oh, my God. No. I want to do a Mudkip cosplay, but I scoured Google and Pinterest for ideas. They all involve water shirts.
Dude, these guys
want to wear a water shirt.
What is a water shirt?
A water shirt? Like essentially it looks like a t-shirt, but it's swimsuit material and it's designed to, like, you can wear it in the water. And it's also like sun resistant.
No.
Yeah.
That's dumb.
But everybody uses it. I'm like, I don't want to wear a water shirt.
No. I'm making Leafeon a flowy dress.
Yeah. Oh, that's so cute.
Dude, abandoned by Petal. Return to four-legged. I just imagine like the little like Leafeon, but like you're like meow.
Or whatever. It's not foxes.
I have no idea. Eevee could be fox. It could be dog.
I don't know.
People say Eevee is dog.
Dog.
Fox. Dog. Anyway, back to the topic of this podcast episode. Maybe alcohol is not the best idea for our pod.
It's worth fine. A shot, right?
So I guess I have a question for you, which is, how do you not pick up the creepy guy?
How do I not?
Yeah, because wasn't that like a job of frat parties is like kicking out the creeps?
Yeah, so...
Not your job?
Is that not my job? I mean, this is a little bit of like the bystander effect, mm-hmm. where it's like you imagine that if somebody's being like a problem, right, mm-hmm. that somebody else will kind of handle it. You know, and that's problematic on its own. It is, for sure. But I know that when I was initially joining the fraternity, that I was able to at least try to ferry out the guys who seem to be a little bit problematic. Mm-hmm. One of the ways that we would do that is just say, hey, you've had too much to drink. You should probably try to get some water and go home. And our fraternity was nice because they gave us like crackers. The school actually would come, and when they knew that we were having a sanctioned like event, they would give us like 3 tubs of like animal crackers.
That's amazing.
Yeah, they were like 5 gallon tubs.
And I was like, I fucking love saltines.
Animal crackers. No, that's animal crackers better.
And I can't tell you how many, like, it was a stockpiled reserve of just these animal cracker things. And
were near the frosted ones?
Near the end. No. Near the end of like every party, we would just like, we'd hand out these like tubs and we'd be like, here, eat some crackers. Eat some crackers.
Oh my God. I'm like, about to die.
People are like, with the crackers. It was awesome. But how did I identify guys that were a problem?
Yeah.
It was really if a girl came to us and told us
so that there
was
a problem. So you waited for someone to report.
There was one time that I can definitely say that
is it the 25-year-old?
What?
Is it the 25-year-old?
We had an older person come in and they were like, they used to be in the fraternity and they thought that they could keep coming to events that were hosted by the fraternity. And so because they thought that like they would be able to get away with things, we were like, no, man, you can't keep coming back here. These are like official events for people who are in school and not like alums. So we ended up just kicking him out. That was one thing. But the thing I was thinking about was there was a guy who was blacklisted by a different fraternity. And we were made aware of it by that fraternity. And then we just honored it.
And I think that's a big logical thing that happens a lot at cons, too. Is it's like you find out from a friend of a friend of a friend. At least 4 female presenting play, like cosplayers, which is like you find out from someone else if it's like, hey, beware of this guy, or you find out like, hey, this guy is safe, but his friend is a little weird.
Yep. That's so not fair, man. That's so not fair.
It's not fair, but unfortunately, it is sometimes the reality of the situation.
And I think you are also held accountable for your friends being creepy.
Yeah, you're right.
Like, if you have a friend that is gonna suck ass at a party and you're the person that keeps bringing them to that party, guess what? You're also gonna be blacklisted.
Yeah. And also, like, maybe don't be friends with that person anymore if they're not a good person.
I have a question. I think that this could maybe be an addendum to our commandments or as a part of, like, our code of conduct.
Okay.
I've always wondered what the proper way to address people who tag along is. Mm-hmm. People who join you halfway through a convention and then they just start following you around. And like, you know, they're good to follow you around for a little bit. But then after that, they become a bit of a problem.
Well, I think it depends on it's like they have become a problem. I think there's a part at some point you have to be able to be like, hey, like we are all... We all came to this con as a group and we are going to go and hang out individually. Like we haven't seen each other in a while.
Yeah,
and this, because I think the big thing is it's like cons are where you get to see your friends.
Exactly.
You haven't seen in a long time.
For like I'm excited for Otakon because it's where like I'll get to see like half of our friends.
Yeah.
Like half of our friend group, we don't get to see stuff for like 3 or 4 times a year.
Exactly.
It's like respecting other people's time, right? It's like, I mean, we've put in the time to get to know people like Dan and people like So Many Hoodies and Mo Choppy.
And also Captain Gardenia and
all of them, and we only see them once in a blue moon.
And we do not get because they're further down the coast, and so we don't get to see them. Like Katsuka was like the first time we had seen them in like 4 months.
Exactly, and so because it's such a rare thing, I want to be able to have control over the people that like I'm spending my time with because I only have 3 days with them.
Of course, especially when you're spending all of that time and that money to plan to do this con with the almost essentially the sole intent of reuniting with that group of people. Like, you put in a lot of effort to plan that.
And so I think like to answer your question, it's like, if you are someone who has been abandoned by your group, like don't feel afraid to ask people to hang out with them. But also like if people ask you or like politely tell you no, honor that.
Yeah.
And it's not personal a lot of the time.
No. And I think the other thing is it's like, if you are the person asking someone to hang back and like leave you alone, don't be a dick.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Can't be shitty about it.
Like I think it was my mom or someone else looked at me at one point and was like, honesty without kindness is cruelty and niceness without honesty is manipulation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like don't be like, hey, can you fuck off for a while?
Right.
Unless like that. Well, unless that person needs to be told to fuck off.
Right.
Like if someone is just like, yeah, like if someone is new to your social and your circle and you're trying to hang out with them and you're trying to get to know them, like being abrasive for abrasion's sake is not needed. And I think that's a big thing when it comes to like, don't be creepy. I think also entails like, don't be a dick.
Yeah. Don't be creepy. Don't be a dick. Don't feel like people like owe you anything.
Yeah.
Nobody owes you anything. No. That's the thing. Unless if that's a friendship and you've got something going on, that's a completely separate problem. And that's a conversation that you need to have. But like, if this is somebody that you just decide out of the blue owes you every moment of their time, They just don't.
Yeah.
And especially when they've made their boundaries clear.
And yeah. I think that's a big thing of it's like, I think one of the hardest things for a lot of guys that have gotten into cosplay, dear, because I think like your position isn't a rare one, but it kind of reminds me of like that Russell Howard speech of it's like, just to be one of the good ones does not mean that you are actively fixing the problem. It means you're just not doing anything. So you might as well not be there.
Yeah.
You like people who have a protected identity, such as like being a guy at a convention, need to step up and need to listen to those like smaller groups, like women or like people of color, and recognize the things that make them uncomfortable. And I think you're getting really good at that by having like me and Dan in so many hoodies and morally gray cosplays like with you.
Definitely.
Of like, we are able to point out, and I don't think it's bad to be able to question them. It's like, okay, well, why was that a thing that you didn't like? But I think also on some level, you people have to accept the idea of it's like, no, that just wasn't a thing that I liked and I can't explain why, but it's a gut feeling. Like our animal brains are good at picking up on that shit.
No, it's fair. You have to trust gut reactions sometimes.
Yeah, trust gut reactions and also our like lived experiences definitely contribute to just like knowing what to look for.
I think that might be the biggest thing of it's like, I know when a guy is being weird.
Because
I have spent my entire life realizing that there's a pattern of behavior for when guys are being weird.
Yeah.
And like now as a adult, I can articulate it's like, yeah, if a guy gets a little too close or like is intentionally trying to seclude me or is like making weird comments about like how I look or how small I am and stuff like that. Like, yes, those are very clear indicators. But like, when I was 16 and going to Ren fairs in corsets as a pirate, could I elaborate on that? No, but I did know it.
Right. We just didn't have the language, but
that's
yeah.
Gross, that's really
I echo the
No, I guess, Dan, what has been your experience since like starting cosplay? Did you notice it? Like, did it get better over time? Did you know how to deal with it better?
Like the creepiness?
Yeah. As you face it.
I think just generally I've gotten better with dealing with situations in public that make me uncomfortable. I used to be a very, very timid person. And I know that's...
Really?
I was going to say, that's probably impossible to believe.
That's... Yeah, not since we've known you.
We did not meet Dan as timid. We met Dan as coming out the gate swinging.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, they met me at Kineticon 2022.
Rhode Island Con 2021.
Or Rhode Island Con. Was 21? It Rhode Island Con?
I don't know about 21.
I think it was 21 because that is when I met. No! Were you not there? That's when
there.
I met so many hoodies.
Yeah, I didn't go to Rhode Island Con.
So I met 2020. I met so many hoodies there.
I think the first time I met you all was Kineticon.
Kineticon. Yes.
Maybe also 21.
No, 22.
22. Because I was ready to throw hands because so many hoodies. Sherry Board.
Got kidnapped.
Got kidnapped by security.
Right. Oh, man. And it was inappropriate.
We officially became, like, proper, like, because we were mutuals at that point.
Yes.
And we, like, it's a funny thing that so many hoodies and I have discussed of. It's, like, if you look at our pictures at, like, these cons that we all went to, like, at Anime Boston 2022 and Kineticon 2022 and Rhode Island Con 2022, and all of these, we're like in the backgrounds of each other's photos.
Literally.
Like we're passing by, like we're ships in the night, literally, like not ships noticing.
Ships in the night.
But I remember that, like, I went up to you at KatsuCon 2023, and I was like, I know that crochet.
Oh my God, yes.
Top, because we were at the rave.
Yes.
And that is when we
the Hawks one.
Yes. Yes. And we became friends again. And that is when we properly met up. And then we got married, and so many hoodies was like, you need to come to Anime Boston this year, and you guys should do Joe and Cherry. And I'm like, I don't think Ryan. And at that point, Ryan, I had done Cherry twice.
Cherry.
I want you to know that there are people that use that as their ship name instead of Matcha Blossom, and it makes me very mad.
Jerry mad.
I'm going to use that when so many hoodies returns from their trip, and they're going to be so mad about it.
They will, because we've talked about it, and I know they will hate it. But no, right. So somebody was like, you guys are married now. You need to do married Matcha Blossom.
Yes.
And so in the photos that we have taken, like we are wearing our wedding rings.
That's true.
Of course.
And like and our hands are visible. But
do you
like,
not wear your wedding rings for cosplays?
I usually do.
Mostly. But like we tend to not always make them prominent.
Okay, fair. Like posing with it in the photo.
Yeah.
Got you.
In Mihawk is the one where I tend to like use my right hand more. So like when holding the sword and stuff, even though I'm left-handed.
Yes. Is that for the accuracy of it?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I didn't even notice. Wow.
Also, he's right-handed and that really threw me off as a left-handed person. I'm excited to do Zoro, who is also left-handed.
Yeah. And I've got the swords.
You got my sword. Yeah. So, but no, like that is when we, like, I think AB23 was when we really became like close friends.
Yeah.
And then we hung out a lot over the summer and then in the fall again. So it feels weird that like we became close friends like a year ago.
It's wild. I actually thought about that a couple weeks ago and I was like, if we're actually considering time to be a thing, which like it's not.
That's fake.
It's not, but like let's pretend it is for a second.
Let's pretend the reality checks back.
it is really crazy. But
it feels weird because it's like the idea of going to cons without you guys is like foreign to us.
It is.
Yeah, but, you can be right. At this point, you guys have become intertangled with like our experience with cosplay.
I think the other problem is we keep doing group cosplays.
Yeah, and I mean with us. Same here. But to get back to the essence of the question, I know you had asked about like my experience with kind of handling situations. Started as timid, obviously not timid anymore. I now really much take pride in like rectifying situations where I can.
Dan is the fixer.
Dan and I will yell at people across convention floor.
Yeah, and it's funny because Anime Boston 2021 was like one of my first cons ever. And it was also the first place I ever yelled at a normie for harassing a cosplayer. And I was barely a cosplayer at that point.
What did it involve, if you don't mind sharing?
It was like a young femme presenting cosplayer who was probably around 18. Mm-hmm. Could have been a minor, could have definitely been a minor. And there were two teenage boys who were just like they were very clearly taking a break in the middle of the Prudential Center. Like they looked tired. They looked like they just needed a minute to decompress. And I'm like, I get it. Trust me. And these two teenage guys just came up to them and were like very much harassing them, had phones in their face, were like laughing, yelling, making these like comments. And I just, like, came and sat next to them at the table. And I looked at them. I'm like, do we have a problem here? And they were like, what? What's the problem? I'm like, apparently it's you.
apparently the problem's you.
And I think that gets to a big point of, like, what to do as, like, a cosplayer and also a con goer when you see someone like that. Of it's, like, 9 times out of 10, if you ask people, like, hey, what are you doing? They immediately stop.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Unless they're, like, way more calm. Because most people don't expect to be called out.
Exactly.
No, most people think this is free reign.
Exactly.
And, and I think it goes back to that idea we talked about, like, with people that wear masks. Of it's, like, they expect the anonymity that they get online. And if you break that wall for them, they will back down.
Yep. Yep. Y'all heard it here first, folks. Like, please take this to heart. This is very true. Like, if you ever feel reluctant about like stepping in or handling a situation, like you have the power to do it. You can help a fellow cosplayer. You can help de-escalate a situation. Like the majority of people, if not all of the people who antagonize like this, have no balls.
No balls. And I think the other thing is, like, and then we joke around. Like, we bully each other a little bit, like, as a friend group. Oh, and, yeah. Like, here's the thing.
Of course. I mean,
if you step in and are like, hey, what are you guys doing? And it turns out that it's just a group of friends and everyone is fine. No one gives a shit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're like, oh, no, fair enough. You know,
what? Of course. Honestly, 9 times out of 10, if you do that, they'll be like, you know what? Thanks, bro.
Yeah, you're right. Like,
I may have taken it a bit too far.
Yeah, that's my bro. I don't want to talk to my bro like that.
I don't want to talk to my brothers in arms, potentially made of plastic.
My brothers in cosplay.
My brothers in
my costume. Brothers in EVA arms.
They're fragile. Please.
Please don't touch. Please don't touch your. It's gonna break any second now.
Oh, that's one of our commandments, actually.
Don't touch the cosplay.
No. Don't touch the cosplay.
Of like one of those things. If it's like, if you do that, like no one's gonna care.
No.
Because honestly, I respect the person that steps in and is like, "Hey, yo, fuck off."
Yeah.
And it's like, no. These are my friends.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, that person's going to do it to someone else.
Exactly.
And they may not be friends next time. And that's way more reassuring. But I think the big thing is it's like, no. If you are the person to step in, and I think the bigger thing is, assume everyone's a minor.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Everyone is a minor. That will be your conduct code.
Yes.
It should be. I don't know why that's not a more common assumption. Because conventions are very friendly. Well, that's because
you're bad at telling age.
Wow. Well, I guess that's fair. I also don't generally like go around and be like, hey, I'd love to take a picture of you. I usually take pictures with them.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't want ever to have pictures of other people.
Yeah.
I have like a couple of like cosplays that I think of as like genuinely amazing, but that's because I want to go back and look at them and look at the like the artmanship and stuff.
Yes. Yeah. I do that for specific reasons.
But I do that with people that I can very clearly tell are adults.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Same here. Like at ZenkaiCon a couple months ago, I saw a Lucifer, like a morning after Lucifer in the like killed my husband robe. You know what I'm talking about? The like sheer robe with the fuzzy at the bottom. I was like, I'm sorry, I need to take a photo of you. Not like that, obviously. I like asked. But like in my brain, that's what went through my head. I was like, wow. I've never seen this before. This is like really.
And this is Lucifer from Hasbin Hotel.
Yes, from Hasbin Hotel. Yeah.
There's like not the show Lucifer. Okay.
Not the show Lucifer. I mean,
that would have been pretty great.
I would have loved that. That is also very on brand with that character.
That would have been really good.
Oh, I peaked. Woo! I peaked on everyone's mic.
Gotta accept your own.
Ooh. But no, I get it. And I'm like, and I think that's the other thing of it's like, wanting pictures with people and of people is like a gut thing of it's like that looks cool. And also fuck off if they say no.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's so, oh my God.
I think that was the big thing of like AB on Sunday of it's like,
yeah,
you actively called someone out when they tried to take a picture when I was bent over a table.
Oh my God. It was in the middle of Artist Alley too.
No, it was Dealer's
Hall. Sorry. Yeah. It's almost the same thing.
I was getting a given keychain because I love Akihiko, the little gay drummer boy. Bye, drummer boy. Mm-hmm. Don't erase that identity. Anyway, you're saying.
Oh, but yeah, you were leaning over to like give the seller your card to like pay for the chain that you wanted.
Yeah.
And this guy with his phone, it wasn't even like a photographer, not that it matters, but yeah. Like leaned over with his camera and I like stepped between you two and I was like, they are literally bent over buying something right now. Like, please do not take a photo of them.
I can't see. These are the occasions where I'm just like, man, I was there. I don't see these things.
It was.
It's spectacular.
I was literally on top of them. Like, because that's, it was.
And I think that might be so the bad thing of it's like, if you are there as like a non-cosplaying friend or as like or even as like a covered cosplaying friend, a big role that you have is just being aware of what is happening to your friends around you. Like, I think that's one of the biggest jobs as like a handler, like Rye, when you're in regular clothes and we're all in cosplay, if it's like,
just classic Sunday rye.
The classic Sunday rye, unless I bully you into doing four cosplays in a weekend like I did at Katsu.
Oh, yeah. That's when we debuted Nihon Sense. Yeah. Wow.
You were kind of like off-duty Hanji on Sunday of Anime Boston. You were.
You were very comfortable. You were actually in your AOT sweater, so yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. That's what I'm
saying. Anyway.
Hanji before the accident.
Bro.
Before the accident.
Damn it.
But no, I think a big part of that is like recognizing when people are clocking your friends, but they're not. Like, I was in the middle of doing a purchase. I couldn't tell if someone was eyes on me.
No, of course not.
I think the other thing is, it's like when you're exposed like that, you just constantly feel everyone's eyes on you. And you saw me and Gray get ready and have that experience of it's like, oh, man, as we were putting our clothes on. Yeah.
Just in the hotel room, you guys felt very like, whoa, this is going to be a lot.
Yeah. And I think when you hear your friends talking like that, like that means you have to be, and it's exhausting. I'm not going to give anyone not, but it's like having to be tuned in all the time. One is like kind of your job as a friend, I think, a lot of times.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you're not willing to do that, then that means you're not willing to do good things for your friends. And I would assess that.
Yeah.
I would assess that.
And I think that's different than like if your friend is deliberately putting themselves in positions of danger, but going to a con in a cosplay, whether content accurate or not, should never be a position of danger.
No, it shouldn't. I mean, like, anybody should be able to, and in this day and age, we can say the same thing about pretty much anything out in public, but somebody should be able to buy a pass for a con and put on the cosplay that they feel happy and confident in. And they should be able to go to that con without a single fear of being put in a dangerous position. Unfortunately, that's not the reality of the situation. But
you paid to be there. You have every right to be there as everybody else. And if you feel unwelcome, then that means that you aren't getting the experience that you should.
Yeah. I definitely have like other bad con experiences that just like aren't coming to my mind right now. But the one that sticks out to me overall is definitely New York Comic Con. I know we all went together once last fall. So what, 2023? Yeah. And it didn't have so much to do with like creeps as it had to do with just like an overwhelming number of just people wanting to take photos of cosplayers and not being willing to ask for consent. So going back to that item on the commandments of cosplays, not consent, like
so many. At New York Comic Con, the day that we went with you guys, you were dressed as Vivi.
It wasn't even Saturday, right?
It was Friday.
It was Friday. Yeah. I was Vivi from One Piece, and So Many Hoodies was Yamato from One Piece.
And then Ryan and I were Hal and Sophie.
Yes.
Our comfort cosplays.
Exactly. And I think I get really upset about the fact that, like, I have to have a comfort cosplay.
Yeah, and I mean, I love that.
Well, I say comfort in the sense that it's a comfortable wear and it's easy for people to recognize. It's just like, they're usually the people who take pictures of us in that cosplay are just like, oh, I recognize that.
Yeah.
Nice. I think my problem is it's like when I think about Sophie's cosplay, I'm like, this is comfortable because I'm covered from neck to toe.
Yep.
Yeah.
Ain't that the truth?
Yeah,
and literally. Like, there's some definition in my waist, but there's not a lot.
Yeah,
I gotta say, you tailored that dress very well.
Thank you.
Yes,
I did it in 6 hours.
Well, that was 6 hours after you'd already made an additional dress.
Yeah. So
there's another older version.
There's
somewhere.
An older version of that dress where I fucked up because the fabric was so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And so I scrapped it entirely and I ran to Joann's, bought the fabric, cut it out, and made the entire dress in less than 6 hours.
Wow.
But at that point, you'd already done it once.
But at that point, like, I did it once. And I was like, I know how to make this.
Yeah, through the motions.
And I think I watched House Moving Castle when I made it.
Nice. I love that.
It's a bit on brand.
You usually stay topical.
I normally watch the thing while I'm making it.
When you did Swan Lake.
I was watching all the Barbie movies. Yes. Shout out to my professor who has shown all his daughters all of the Barbie movies because I referenced one in class.
And he's like, oh, like the one with Margot Robbie? And then
And I was like, your daughters would like these. And his apparently 6-year-old has fallen in love with them that over the course of a semester, which fun fact is only 14 weeks for us.
Yeah.
His daughter has watched nearly all of them.
It's a formative experience. I am very happy to hear that.
What was your favorite?
We're imploring that on Gen Z.
She's Gen Alpha because she's only six.
Stop it. I can't do it.
Hey, you said it yourself. The passive time is fake.
I can't just ignore it. Yeah, it's fake. I'm choosing to ignore that.
What was your favorite Barbie movie? Mine was obviously Swan Lake.
Of course.
And then Rapunzel.
Of course. My favorites were tied between Rapunzel and Princess and the Pauper.
Princess and the Pauper Solomon. I also really, really like 12 Dancing Princesses.
Yeah. I honestly just...
And Three Musketeers. That's a good one.
I've never seen that one.
We could do Three Musketeers. We can bully so many hoodies into that.
Oh, yeah. I think they'd do it. I think if we asked them,
they would do it, but I could also bully them into it.
I'm just like, well, I could be violent, though. Hold on.
verbally violent. So many hoodies literally texted me earlier today that they missed me.
Because
they're on vacation right now, so I don't know. They also texted the group chat that they missed them. That's true. So, like, yeah.
But you got it twice, so you're special.
But I got it twice. I messaged them, I missed them twice, so.
That'll do it.
The wine hitting.
Wine hits different.
White does hit different.
To get back to
back on topic.
Just to get back to your question and to elaborate on why New York Comic Con was my worst experience, because I only briefly talked about the like photographers, and I feel like NYCC for many is like by far their favorite con.
Well, because like because you're doing the Royal Vivi cosplay, Miss Wednesday.
Yes, it was the OG Royal Vivi though, not the Reverie version.
Yeah,
so
but
the white dress with the pink cloak.
Yeah, so in theory, you are covered head to toe.
Yes, it had nothing to do with coverage. It just had to do with people not understanding boundaries or not respecting boundaries.
And I think that's a big thing that's overlooked a lot.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it was literally people not taking no for an answer. I don't remember how the four of us got separated, because I know the four of us, like you two.
Oh, I ran down to check on Matt Mercer.
That's right.
And then we were like, that's when we discovered that
Travis Willingham and Laura Bailey, the two people that So Many Hoodies and I were waiting on. Unfortunately didn't get to meet Matt Mercer, but you should be able to meet him this year at New York Anime Con.
Anime NYC. I'm not going back to NYC soon.
No. But it's also like weirder. Like honestly, as much as I love comic books, like comic conventions have gotten weird.
Yeah,
I think anime conventions have been the better experiences.
Anime conventions are funner.
Funner.
No, what happened was like Ryan had gone to get coffee. You guys had gone to explore the artist alley.
Yes.
That was very minimal at best. And I was like, you know what? We're only going to be here for like another hour and a half. I'm going to go check the lines. And we had made friends with one of the line attendants because I think she just like once she liked Ryan and I's cosplays a lot.
Yeah.
But also she felt like just a little bad.
Yeah. Oh, no, I know. I remember exactly who you're talking about.
Yeah. And was she lovely.
She was very lovely.
The volunteers at Anime NYC were New York Comic Con were very understanding.
Mostly.
There was a couple.
There was the one that I spoke to who was rude to me. And I was like, okay, I didn't need that. But anyway.
But the one that I think it was really hard because like I was talking to one while you were talking to another. And
it was very
conflicting information. But like she was most of the volunteers at Anime NYC Anime Comic Con were so lovely and so understanding because it was not well advertised that for the cast members of Critical Role, you had to get pre-register signatures, which is
not
nearly unheard of.
Yeah, that's not normal at all. No. You go to a convention and you're able to usually get with enough time the signature that you want.
Yes.
And yes, there are people that have like the VIP passes and they get before, but the idea of like seven people having
fully sold out. Yeah.
Fully sold out signatures is unheard of. And so
it is becoming the norm though, because Anime NYC is doing the same thing.
But only for those seven.
Only for them, only for Critical Role.
Listen, guys, I'm just telling you, like I've said it before, I'm gonna say it again. I think it's a goddamn cult. I think it's good. Like I like Matt Mercer. I like the content that they
Trafalgar
make.
Trafalgar Water Law is a
that's
Trafalgar D Water Law.
That's
D water
my husband law. Levi Ackerman, right?
No,
there.
I understand.
Like, oh, you mean your husband hit?
Oh yeah, is he hit?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, he infiltrated the Dragon Ball, man.
He's everyone.
I know. It's nuts. So what I'm saying is that, like, I like, he's a great voice actor.
He's a wonderful voice actor.
I like the thing that
Travis Willingham is my husband, if anyone. I love his voice act. He's so good.
And it's great. And
Mustang was my biggest crush as a child.
Mustang. On point, what I'm trying to say is that I think that it's become a cult because you spend a lot of time in Critical Role getting to hear just like little tidbits of their personal life. And you said it yourself, like the minimum that you're getting from them on a weekly basis is 3 hours of content.
No, yeah. It's six.
The minimum is six?
Yeah, because you have the weekly episodes, which are anywhere between 3 to 5 hours. And then you have the Critters After Dark, which is like their recap episodes, which is another 2 to 5.
My God. So you're getting constant content from these people. So you have a pretty good insight into what their week looks like. And so you have a very lopsided view of like your relationship with them.
Oh, yeah. And right? It also makes full sense why Laura Bailey stopped being Kid Trunks.
Yeah, absolutely.
As sad as I am about it.
Yeah. And so what ends up happening is that like now people are like, well, I know these people. They're my friends because I listen to their thing like every week. And they gotta get.
And I played a D&D campaign where I had characters directly related to Vox Machina, but like,
really?
I did. I'll tell you about it later.
Oh, please do.
Oh, I'm so excited now. But no, like what happened at New York Comic Con was I ran down to check, and the one line attendant we had made friends with was like, "Get in line now."
Yeah,
get in line now.
I remember that.
And so
and it was a mad dash.
And it was a mad dash because I got in Laura Bailey's line, which was longer than Travis Willingham's. And then I called so many hoodies.
Yes.
And was like, if you want this ace tattoo, meet me down here immediately.
Yeah.
And from my understanding, y'all sprinted.
We did sprint. And I had blisters on the, because I was wearing heels.
Fuck.
I had blisters on the bottoms of my feet for like 3 weeks.
And I kept calling Ryan because I was like, I need cash because it was cash only.
Oh, yeah. And then you wound up having to like go to the ATM.
Left the line. I made friends with the people in front of me in line who had VIP passes.
Right.
Like, Do you see the hoops that they had to jump through? Everybody here had to jump through hoops to meet these people.
Of course. It's ridiculous. Like, what?
And you will meet Matt Mercer.
I will.
And I may give you my Levi plushie so you can get him signed because I don't know if we're going
to. Oh, yeah. Of course. If you don't go, I'll just get a sign for you.
Get a sign for me. I'd love to meet him, but also in time. But that was the situation we were facing at New York Comic Con. Deb, what was, like, beyond the photography, what was the issue?
So it wasn't necessarily just photography that was the issue. It was the fact that, like, from the moment that so many hoodies and I stepped into the, like, main expo hall, we were swarmed. We were, like, absolutely surrounded. I felt like I was being sieged by some army of dwarves. I don't fucking know. Like,
oh my God.
It got to the point where there were cameras, like, mere inches from my face. I don't know what shot they thought they were getting, but there was no clear, like, personal space boundary.
Fans or just based on, like, attendance?
It was just, like, random people with cameras coming up to so many hoodies and I being like, can I take your photo? Can I take your photo?
Already taking pictures.
From, literally, we were in the expo hall for maybe 20 seconds. And we were flanked from all sides. It's crazy
because this is one of the biggest, like, floors of, like, an expo hall I've ever seen. Like, they had, like, the giant inflatable Luffy.
Yeah, we were right in front of the inflatable Luffy. Yeah.
And they had, like, the Studio Ghibli shop. And it was wild because, like, while you were experiencing that, Ryan and I were experiencing nothing.
Yeah.
We got a couple looks.
Which was so weird because, like, we were in front of, like, the Studio Ghibli, like, exhibit at one point.
We're doing, like, that's me.
I wanted to potentially get some of the Studio Ghibli merch. But, like,
of course.
It's kind of mid, though.
I think it's I wish I knew why.
Yeah.
But, like, it sucks ass.
Yeah.
This is the experience.
I have one theory as to why.
Do explain.
Wasn't it in July, August? Right.
It was in October.
I was going to say it was like end summer.
It was October. We had just gone to the Ren Fair.
It was right after the Ren Fair.
Okay.
It was the weekend after because you like looked at us and went, you guys haven't gotten your tickets yet. And I was like, nah, bro.
Oh, yeah.
You know what it was? That was like the biggest like One Piece summer had. Like,
oh, yeah, because the
Gear 5
had come out.
The Gear 5 had
come out.
Yeah.
And the end of Wano had come out.
Yeah.
And so all of that paired together was like the One Piece had the most visibility.
That's when we started One Piece.
It's exactly right. Yeah.
We had started the anime finally.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You guys were just starting it. But I wound up having...
It's not an excuse. I want to make that clear. That is not an excuse for why all of this
happened. Give a shit if it's like the biggest summer ever for your anime. If you invade people's personal space, suck a dick.
Yeah. And it gave me a full-fledged meltdown. Like, I have a lot of like sensory processing things, and it just like really got to me, and I just like broke down in the middle of the expo hall, and like it became very visibly evident, and so many hoodies made it their mission to get me the fuck out of there, and these two guys would not leave us alone. So I turned around and I got right in their faces and I was like, leave me alone, I told you no, you take another photo of me, I am taking your phone.
And it sucks so hard that that's...
That it got to that point. I wish it didn't, but it did.
And I think the other thing is, like, someone as, like, a cosplayer who's trying to, like, build a platform, you almost feel like you can't do that.
Yeah, I was terrified. I was like, God forbid. They did get a picture of my face, and I get, like, doxxed online. Like, I'm going to get fucking canceled for... having a sensory meltdown and
that's
wanting
totally, you're right.
Space.
Yeah. And I think it's like, it's not even the thing of it's like a like what is like traditionally seen as like a sensory meltdown of it's like you just like start yelling at people. If it's like you politely asked.
Oh, I had asked several. We both had like so many hoodies, and I had both been like, okay, we're done. Like, we really need to go find our friends. And nobody cared.
And I think that might be like one of the big things that we talk about of it's like, when you are doing this shit, like as part, because I know of people who's like have had meltdowns of whether or not to be able to stand up to other big cosplayers in the community of it's like,
oh yeah,
it's weirdly political, right?
It's horribly political because it's like, you should feel like you have boundaries and like being able to enforce boundaries. And I think like as someone who works in psychotherapy, like a big part of this is it's like, boundaries are not rules. Boundaries are like, you can do whatever you want, but this is what I feel comfortable with. And you have to respect my personal autonomy.
Right.
Rules are dictating how others behave. Boundaries are dictating how others interact with you.
Yes.
And like, that is the clearest distinction between the two.
Definitely.
And like, when people violate your boundaries, it can often feel like, especially with like how diverse and interactive the community is, it feels like a lot of those boundaries get kind of like stomped on. And it's frustrating to be like and I say this as an individual who has worked, because of how old I looked when I was very young.
Yeah.
I have worked a lot of my life to be like, no, this is the line. If you cross it, I'm going to kick you in the dick.
But I will say though,
immediate castration.
To ballless behavior.
Like you want to act
you're
ballless?
You're
going to
have a
Ken doll.
You're going to have
balls.
A Ken doll to match.
You want to act like you have no balls? Here and no balls.
Guess what?
Guess what, no, motherfucker?
No balls.
No balls.
No balls.
I will say that I think that one of the things that has helped you specifically, though, dear, has been the thing that I think you got into cosplay like a bit later in life than a lot of people may have.
I got into cosplay.
My understanding was that you made costumes like pretty young.
The first
you didn't
costume
really
that I ever wore to a Ren Fair, I was 11. And it's a dress that I still fit. And I'm not saying that to like brag about my size. I'm saying that to demonstrate like how early I went through puberty.
Yeah. Sure.
I made a dress with my mother when I was 12.
Yeah.
And that dress hangs in my closet today. And the next Ren Fair we are going to, I am wearing it again. And that is not to say like, wow, I've stayed so thin. No, over the time that I'm 12, I've gained 30 pounds. But, like, it's only 30 pounds since I was 12.
And it's not doubling.
I am now 25.
And you did well in making the dress where it's versatile enough to accommodate.
But it's also form-fitting.
It's also form-fitting.
That's kind of nuts. Yeah. I don't like
that. But that's also not uncommon for fem-bodied individuals.
Yeah, like, because, like,
that is a thing that happens. And it's unfortunate that...
On my first period in fourth grade, it sucked ass.
Yep.
This is what we said before. If you're going to take a picture of someone, assume that they are a minor.
Yes.
Don't put them in a situation where...
And don't expect that person to know how to advocate for themselves.
Of course.
But yeah, what I'm trying to say, though, is that you did get back into cosplay a little bit later. When was your first convention, like comic convention?
I was 13.
You were 13 when you first? Yeah. Okay. All right. My first comic convention was when I was
a high school friend for his birthday, and we met Stanley.
Oh my god.
It was very
Stanley. Exciting. Oh my god. Yeah. You said it like it was one word, Stanley.
Stanley.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I was like, dude, who's Stanley?
And I didn't know that's what we were doing, so I wore a Superman shirt initially and they made me change and so I
oh shit. Yeah, no, that would be distasteful.
Even I know that's DC.
Okay, but I didn't know we were meeting him.
Oh, okay. That's
right. So like we were going, I was going with one of my best friends for the longest time, and his dad and stepmom bought us tickets to Baltimore Comic Con.
Was that formerly Otakon?
No, it's fully different.
Is it still a thing?
Yes.
What is this now?
Baltimore Comic Con.
Never heard of her.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
it's
nice.
A comic convention.
Interesting.
I didn't get into cosplay until I was like, I didn't go to my first comic convention until I was like 18 or 19. And the first comic convention
you
I went to,
SuperCon in Miami.
I went to SuperCon in Miami, and it was pretty good, but I had no appreciation for the things I was looking
is
at.
Is that the year
and
that Chris people, said I was there?
It'd be funny if it was. I don't remember what year it was, but I do know that when I went that first time, I saw everybody dressed up and I tried to like talk to people and I thought that it was fun. I don't think I took pictures of anybody or doing anything, but I remember being like...
Okay, but 2018, how old were you?
2018, I was 22.
22? And yeah. I think that's the thing of it's like, I was 12 or 13.
Yeah. And yeah, so, this was the thing that... Yeah.
And Dad, how old were you when you went to your first... You said Anime Boston 2021?
So that was one of the first ones. Okay. I think technically my first one was Fan Expo Boston.
Oh, exciting.
Which was when...
So then maybe Anime Boston 2022.
How old did you say you were?
How old would you say you were?
22. Wow, holy shit. So I'm almost going to...
I mean, So Many Hoodies is fully the one who got me into cosplaying and conventions.
Right.
Yeah.
I think that this speaks to the idea that if you got into cosplay later, I feel like you're more willing to stand up for yourself.
Well, that's because a child is less willing to like understand what their own boundaries are and like stand up for themselves. If it's like, when I was a teenager at like... Renaissance fair and conventions, I didn't know what to do. And I was dressed as like, I hate this about myself. I was dressed as a Homestuck troll.
That's cosplay, right?
That was cosplay. I had horns. I made my glasses. Baby. I made my stick. One of my she's blind. So she
I don't know anything about
Homestuck. Oh, deadass, is that why you wear the glasses?
Yeah, I was blind. Oh, my character was blind, so I had like a seeing eye stick. And
now you can just put in
my
sclerus.
Friend, Captain Gardenia, who we've stayed with at Katsucon.
The joke was wasted on you.
I don't know what joke you made.
Oh, I said that you could just wear scleras now.
Be blind.
Oh my god. But Captain Gardenia made my Sprite Dragon, which is like a little plushie. I had like 8 of them because they kept making them for me.
Aww.
We were adorable in middle and high school. I wish you met us. That's awesome. Were so cute.
To be cringe is to be free.
I am shameless, and so I therefore don't know.
That's true. You are shameless.
But was that always the case?
Probably.
God damn.
Yeah.
Turns out, be bullied for being queer very young. Turns out shameless.
Be bullied for being autistic. Turns out shamed.
Shamed. No, loops back to just full shame.
Just full shame? No one clocked me as autistic until I was an adult.
Really?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Damn.
Dick.
I got clocked in like 3rd grade.
No, I got put in reading special ed from 2nd to 6th grade, and they realized that I just read faster than my mouth could talk. Yeah. So.
No, that's like MJ saying that as like no, that's literally what it was.
Yeah.
They actually like MJ would skip words and they were like, "Oh yeah, you got issues.
No.
You're in remedial reading."
No, that's
I went to remedial learning for language arts 3 out of 6 days of the cycle.
When you should have been put in advanced reading and stuff.
Or at least regular.
I could do multiplication and division in kindergarten.
Yeah.
And I could read, and I was reading the Harry Potter books on my own before kindergarten. So, yes.
And comprehending them.
And like being able to give like analysis of characters prior. I was just a bit stupid. Like I just couldn't meet like the DRE
You're not allowed to use the word stupid. I saw you. I saw you.
I was a little bit stupid. You were like, not allowed to 11, a 6-year-old MJ.
I'm barring you from that phrase right now.
I'm anyway. I'm a doctoral candidate by the time this episode comes out.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's go.
We're not using those adjectives here.
Anyway, but no, so like, I think circling back to what I was saying earlier, of it's like the three big tenets of like making sure you are safe socially and emotionally at cons is, one, have someone that can clock creeps.
Yes.
In your group.
Or just more generally, use the buddy system.
Never go to a con in a cosplay that might be uncomfortable alone.
Yeah. Or in general, if you are cosplaying, it is probably a good idea to bring a buddy. Just as a rule of thumb, like, especially if you're unsure about the population around you.
Yeah,
bring a buddy.
Have you ever been to a convention by yourself?
No.
Okay.
And
neither have we.
Neither. I always went with a friend or a parent, a friend and their parents.
We talked about this a little bit before. We think that you should probably be accompanied by an adult.
Like, if you are
under
age. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
You should have an adult there. It doesn't have to be your parent.
I work with kids all the time.
Yeah.
And I think you guys are fully autonomous beings, and you have feelings and emotions of your own. Don't go places by yourself.
No.
And I say this as a teenager who did go places by themselves and put themselves in very dangerous situations.
Yeah.
I'm not saying this as like a rain on your parade. I'm saying this as like a person looking out for your best interest.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if you can't go to a place with an adult, like, I've also gone to concerts where like an adult didn't want to go with me.
Yeah.
As like an older teenager, where it's like, you have enough autonomy and like responsibility. And like, I appreciate my parents for feeling that way. And also
cap.
Find an adult.
Yeah.
And that means find a safe looking female.
Yes. Agreed. A tattooed femme bodied person.
What's your thought process? I actually don't follow it.
My thought process is a lot of times, more likely than not, people that present as masculine, especially if they were assigned male at birth, are more likely to take advantage of disenfranchised small females.
It's purely statistical.
Like, statistically speaking, like, it is one of those things of it's like, guys are more often going to take advantage of at-risk children than females are. Honestly, the population that you're least likely to be like unsafe with, Black women.
Yeah.
So true.
Black women are your...
So true.
Or women with children.
Yeah.
If you see a mom with kids at a con, run to that person.
Yep.
If you feel unsafe.
Yeah.
And 9 times out of 10... Like, if you just go, I'm uncomfortable, that woman will take you
home. Yeah, if you are feeling unsafe, and this is not to say that these populations of people owe you guardianship, but
no, but they're 9 times out of 10 going to bail you out.
Yes, exactly. These are the safe people. These are the people that, like,
will protect you. Like, it's, and it's just like a statistical speaking more than anything else. Like, not all men, whatever. I don't care.
I don't give a shit.
I don't, because oftentimes people
we're looking
that
at the numbers, we're looking at the anecdotes.
I am, no, because I'm like, look, y'all, I'll put my like academic credentials online of it's like, I have looked into assault and harassment data. And unfortunately, because guys don't stand up against other guys, the answer is a female.
Yep.
Unfortunately, as much as I would like to say that's a thing that I did, I literally at the top of this episode said I didn't. So
and I think that's the big thing of it's like a lot of guys will own up that they don't recognize creep behavior.
You are learning though.
I'm trying.
You have learned. I mean, you stood up for me recently.
Yeah, that's true.
You did.
No, it's one of those things of it's like statistically speaking, like that just isn't what happens. And you have learned. And both I and our friend group, who is predominantly female presenting, appreciate that.
Absolutely.
But I think it is one of those things. If it's like when you are socialized as a guy young, you don't clock it. Like, Ryan, you've owned up at the top of this episode that you don't clock it. And that's fine. And that's whatever. But like, I think a big part of that is like kind of going into number two of it's like you have to listen when people who are at risk tell you that they feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Right.
If you are that friend, if you are the cosplay handler, as Ryan often is on Sundays, bro. Except for CosuCon where everyone's in cosplay 24/7.
Sometimes more than the amount of days in CosuCon, and that's crazy to me.
Oh my god, people were cosplaying on Monday this year. Anyway, sorry.
When we were driving home? Mom. Absolutely not, ma'am.
Story, and I just need to say it. But like throw continue. So when you're the cosplay handler.
When you're the cosplay handler, like you have to be 1,000% more willing to like clock creeps. And that partially means one, paying attention when your friends aren't, like you were when I was trying to buy my cute little Akihiko keychain.
Not that you should have been paying attention. And not that you should have. Those fucking things in that scenario.
But the reason I felt so safe doing that, not paying attention, is because I knew you two had my back.
Yeah.
And that's fully why I was comfortable doing it.
Yeah.
And I think that's a big part of it. But like on the cosplay handler and like the people not buying things and bending over and revealing cosplays, like a big part of that is like being able to be aware more than anything.
Yeah.
And I think like that's a thing that you have to do. And so I think that pulls into the third thing of it's like, be willing to call people out.
Oh, absolutely. I think that's something that is not necessarily easy.
No, it's not.
It's not
for people in this community.
Like social psychology points out that it's not. No. It's not an easy thing to be able to be like, hey, you're being fucking weird.
Yeah.
And I'm saying that as someone who has studied social psychology of it's like, no, it's hard.
Flex the creds, man. I love when MJ flexes the creds.
But I think it's important in this episode because this is a lot of like going against social norms.
No, you have like actual scientific insight to back up the claims you're making right now. That's important.
It is hard. And I'm not saying that as like a reason to be like, you need to go against the norm of it. Saying like, I'm saying this because like con goers, even post pandemic, are a small community.
Yeah.
And we need to look out for our at-risk populations. Yeah. And when I say at-risk, I mean children.
Yes.
Those are the ones I feel at least the most bad for.
Because kids deserve to have a childhood.
Yep.
That is my, I think if like I was to have a thesis statement for this episode, my biggest thesis statement is like, boy, girl, non-binary, whatever the fuck you are, kids deserve to have a childhood.
Yeah.
Don't ruin that.
And if you choose to ruin that, you are a fucking monster.
You're a horrible person. Yeah, you're not. Screw that. You're not just a horrible person. You're not a person. You are a monster.
Yeah. But I think that means that for a lot of adults in the area, we have to like step up. And I think we stepped up great at Anime Boston.
Absolutely.
Of it's like calling out anyone who was taking a photo, anyone who was taking a video and sitting there and recording.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
There are children in this hallway.
There was that one, like,
older
man. Oh, no, I'm not even talking about the woman on Sunday. I'm talking about the man on Friday.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So there was a man. Sorry?
You want to describe it? I don't even remember.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I remember. So many hoodies pointed out to me after the fact.
So there was a man sitting on a bench in the middle of the Prudential Center, the mall, taking photos and videos of just everybody in cosplay who was walking past him. Does not matter the age demographic. Like, he had no idea how old people were walking past him. And so I noticed this as the group of us were walking past, like, where he was sitting. So I came right up to him and I put my face right in his phone. And I was like, and I got very, very loud. And I was like, stop taking photos and videos of people without asking them. That's fucking weird.
And again, that pulls back to the thing of it's like 9 times out of 10, people will back down.
Yep.
If you confront people who are used to just being able to do what they want, they will back down because they are ballless.
Yeah, absolutely. And he turned like beet fucking red. And we like kept walking and I was just like, okay, I hope I fucking embarrass you. And then he ran after us and poked me and was like, hey, I deleted them. Like,
because I was walking with you. Yes.
Right, exactly. Yes. And I turned to him. I'm like, yeah, and? Like, that's
you want a reward?
The fucking bare minimum. Yeah, you want a trophy?
I think that's the thing of it's like, people are not used to being called out for their behavior. And as adults, it's kind of our responsibility to call people out.
Absolutely. I kind of like it. I have fun with it.
And that's you got to find thing. Your small funs.
I have fun.
Well, because it is otherwise so creepy. Because about, like, depressing. On Sunday, that woman, like, she sat there and she argued with
people. She was nasty.
There was a woman who was sitting on a bench, like, as people walked up and down the Prudential Center. Because we were going to get photo shoots in the garage.
Yeah, and I know you mentioned
we were in a rush, man. Like, there was no doubt we were in a rush.
But like and so many hoodies called her out.
Yeah.
And then two people in the cafe right next to her.
Literally the random people waiting for the coffee.
And they argued. Like, as we were waiting for that elevator, they argued.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. She was adamant. She's like, I have a right to do it.
But like, Raya's pointing out, like, what the fuck
are you doing with that shit, dude? Why do you want it so bad?
That's true. You made a great point in the anime Boston episode. Like, the fuck are you doing with that footage?
What the fuck could you possibly? Are you like? I was like, you're gonna post it on Facebook and like own the libs? Like, what is this? No, dude, I don't understand.
But I think that gets to that core thing of it's like as like a person, you've got to be willing to call people out.
Yeah,
because like, and like honestly, like if you're small, if you're timid, if you don't know how to like stand up physically for yourself, I get not willing to, but like.
But here's the other thing.
Here's that another MJ Funks.
Oh, I was going to say, it doesn't come back to you at a convention. You're in another city. You know?
Yeah, 9 times out of 10, like, unless it's your home that. Con.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
But
whatever.
Like, at, like, and I say this as a person with, like, I don't know, how old am I, 25?
Let's think about that. Yeah,
like about that age? All right.
I'd like to think so, yes.
Yes. As someone, I'm doing
Timeless MJ.
Timeless MJ. Hey, yo, we did have people call me a fae because they looked at me and they were like, have you always looked like this?
Yes, actually.
Unfortunately.
You said the same thing to me, the Ren Fair, actually.
I did.
Whoa.
Yes. You do. I've seen pictures of you younger and you look the same. Because
I look the fucking same. Yeah. Anyway.
But no, so I've been doing martial arts for, I think, 17 or 18 years now.
You'd fit right in with Sanji. Anyway.
Yeah, there we go. Oh, 8 years old. Yes, actually. I started at 8. But that means that, like, if a confrontation doesn't de-escalate as soon as I call them out, I'm comfortable beating a bitch's ass.
Nice.
Ryan wishes I wasn't.
I don't know what I'm supposed to do in that situation. Ryan is sinking
further and further. He's like, no.
I don't know. I try to de-escalate. That's always been my role. That's
true. But, like, I honestly, babe.
It's easy for me.
Me and Dan will escalate. You and so many heavies will de-escalate. De-escalate. Necessary.
Let's go
de-escalate. Can you tell that my tongue is getting number?
Oh, okay. No.
We've continued to drink throughout this episode.
It's no longer wine.
It's no longer wine. I'm now on my third Truly.
Graduated Trulies and Heineken's.
Yeah. And whatever. What are you drinking, dear? It's the beer that one of our friends turned you on to.
I had it's a Kirin Ichiban. I'm really into it. It's nice. It's like a
lot. But I think to wrap up this, the three main things. So that I have three main things for the friends and two main things for people who aren't cosplaying. Be aware. Assume to be family friendly.
Yeah.
And like be comfortable around other people.
Yeah.
And the third one is like call people the fuck out.
Oh, yeah.
And then for people who are not the cosplayer and not part of that cosplaying group, it is like another aspect of that. It's like, assume you are talking to minors.
Yes.
And like, I think that is like pulled back into that second point of like, be family friendly.
Yes.
But assume you're talking to minors. And then I think the other aspect of that, if it's like, if you wouldn't want someone doing it to you, don't do it to them.
Yeah.
And I think a great example of this is when I would go to gay bars in Miami, we had like a gay friend mm-hmm. that whenever a straight guy hit on us and we were very clearly like on a date, our gay friend would go back and do the exact same thing to them.
That's amazing.
I love that man. That man was wonderful.
Wow.
But like, that is the thing of it's like, if you don't want someone who you are not attractive to doing that to you, don't do it to someone else.
Wow. I fuck with that hard.
Nice. Because like,
I'm pocketing that.
I don't think the thing should be if it's like, Ryan shouldn't have to come up to me and like link our wedding rings. So many hoodies shouldn't have to come up to us and be like, this is my partner.
Yeah, no.
Like, that shouldn't be necessary.
Yeah, there shouldn't need to be
You shouldn't have to lie about your relationship no. or like point out your relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like weirdly ownership. And I'm not a fan of that.
And that's the, and like, honestly, as much as I love you, like that's the worst part of it. It's like, I am not allowed to like, just like say no to someone because I don't want it.
You don't want it.
I have to say no because I belong to someone else.
Right. Ugh. Right. You're entitled to your choices. There don't need to be any like concrete reasonings behind it. Like for me, as somebody who is very much not married, not in a relationship, like I say no. Still have
boundaries.
Right, exactly. I am still entitled to my boundaries. I'm still able to say no when I don't want to have that interaction with somebody. Yeah. And I shouldn't need to come up with a lie on the fly just to like get out of there.
But like I've known so many people who have worn fake engagement rings and fake weddings.
Absolutely. I've kissed friends to pretend that they are my partner in a bar to get away from a predatory man before.
Goddamn.
And so I think like another thing is it's like as like kind of go back to those key three things of it's like if you are a congoer, you need to start listening to your friends.
Yeah.
Of if one of your friends like looks at you and goes, I don't like this guy.
Oh yeah.
Dude, every vibe is important. Even if you're not picking up on it, you need to honor somebody else's.
For sure.
And I say that as someone who is a psychologist and recognizes that vibe checks are not just bullshit. We have studied like quote unquote like insight and vibe checks.
Yeah.
And it is normally based on like previous predatory behavior that you recognize as predatory. It's not just bullshit. It is being like, no, the last time I got assaulted, the guy that assaulted me did X, Y, and Z. Yep. And he is also doing X and Y, and I don't want him to get to Z.
Exactly. Yeah, those lived experiences can save us. We can identify the problem ahead of time and let our friends know, like, hey, this situation seems unsafe. We should move. That is your time to listen to them.
Yeah. And, like, I get if, like, look, honestly, kind of like we talked about at the top of the episode, like, if you call someone out and they go, no, these are my buddies, no one's going to give a shit.
Yeah. Fuck that shit. Don't even
think about it again.
Nine times out of ten, it'll just be a funny story of it's like, wow, that guy ruled.
Yeah, you and your buddies can all be ballless then. Guess what?
9 times out of 10, you and your buddies will feel like you have balls. If it's like, ah, bro, we're just not. And you might make a new friend. A
bunch of Ken dolls down there.
I will.
Motherfucking Ken doll crew.
Dude, get that Ken doll conversion. That's
fun, man. And I think if anything, that would be my thesis statement of this episode. Of it's like, hey, yo, call people out. And it, because like the people that like are just joking around won't give a shit. But the people who aren't, God, will they fucking back down?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The reaction. You can protect so many
people that way. That's so, right. Ryan, have you learned something this episode?
I would have to say yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
It would be pretty ballless to say.
Ballless. Maybe that'll be our first merch of it's like,
don't be ballless.
Don't be ballless behavior.
If y'all do wind up putting merch out, number one, I just need to know as soon as it comes out so I can purchase it.
I think if we have anything, like our first line of merch will be big titted up anime men.
Oh, yes. God.
Big dumb titted up
yes, anime. Yes, and I hope there is a big titted up like silhouette on the t-shirt.
It'll be Joe's chest.
Yeah.
Oh my God. We'll have
Joe, Zoro, and Broly.
Oh Jesus. My God. Like to choose from.
But what a great segue.
That is a great segue. Which... Dan, we have come to the conclusion of our episode. As sad as we are to watch you go, I do have three fundamentally important questions for you.
Okay, I'm ready.
Which is, what is your dream cosplay?
My dream cosplay?
No restrictions. No time.
Oh, gosh.
No nothing. What do you want to do, buddy?
Oh, God. Okay. Mm-hmm. I think, the dream cosplay that I've had in my brain for, like, ever at this point, even before I was a cosplayer, I've been a Star Wars nerd for the longest time ever. And
we got invited to a Star Wars / Lord of the Rings themed wedding that we will get to cosplay for next year. And I can see the jealousy in your eyes, and I'm so excited. Yeah, I know.
We're going to have a separate conversation about this. Getting back to your question.
Yeah.
So my favorite episode of all time is The Phantom Menace.
A great episode.
Right? It gets a lot of hate. It gets a lot of hate. Qui-Gon Jinn is one of my favorites. Qui-Gon Jinn. Yeah, that's right. You got that right.
Well, I have the French in my brain, so it's supposed to be good.
Okay, listen. I don't.
No, you don't, and that's a normal human being. You shouldn't have the French in your brain. It's a bad language.
But there is one scene between Anakin and Padme where they are on a balcony, and Padme is wearing a very flowy, like, purpley white dress.
I know what dress you're talking about, yes, and I so badly want to dip dye it, and I will make that for you.
Shut if the you fuck up.
Give me the if you help me with the dip dye, I will.
I'll do whatever you want me to do. I
that's
just
not can't. A. It's not a super. If I know if I think if we're talking about the same dress.
Oh, I can. I mean, I'll show you photos after.
Absolutely. After so maybe in the next year and a half.
Yeah.
Danda's dress. And
yes. Oh my god. So yes, it is the Padme balcony dress. She has, it's like the silver neck collar with the like white to purple dip dye and the like arm cuffs. Yes, that's the one. I have wanted to own and wear that dress since I was 9 years old.
Adorable. That's, and I love it. Awesome. And so, we'll reference this on our Instagram to show you. I know people I know people who have done this cosplay, and I'm going to be honest, the hardest part is just dyeing the fabric.
Yeah, and, like, the shitty thing is all of the, like, versions of this dress that you can purchase online, ugly as hell.
Oh, God.
So terrible. Like, yeah, it's the same as that, like, the Royal Vivi one, which is why so many hoodies decided, like, no, fuck this shit. I am making this corset for you.
Yeah.
Because every version that we could find online was awful. Yeah.
And they did a great job. With
Royal my Vivi. God, they did an amazing job. I still get comments to this day being like, where'd you get this? Yeah. And I'm like,
it's original.
My best
and it's so frustrating. It's not a super like complex build, but it is like a very like detailed build.
Very detailed. Yeah. So yeah. So this is my dream. I would trust no one but you, honestly, to like do that. So that makes my heart warm.
I love that. Okay. And so the opposite side of the spectrum.
Okay.
What is your nightmare cosplay? Ryan's has previously referenced,
You referenced the mech suits, right? Mech suits,
any mech suit.
Anything that involves like a totally form-fitted mech suit.
Yeah.
And like, that's a nightmare.
I don't think I've ever talked about my nightmare cosplay build. But what is yours? We'll do mine another day.
Can it be one that I've already worn?
Yes.
Interesting. Okay.
Okay, cool. So it would be Joe from Skate.
Really?
Yes.
Do explain, because that looks very comfortable.
So it does, but it is body dysmorphia hell for me personally.
That I think is a very interesting point.
Gender dysmorphia?
We've never
explored that. Can you tell more?
Yeah, so I did Joe, I think once. Literally just once. Okay. The first holiday mask series. I did a femme version.
Okay.
But it was still like very much it was like it was like a long green wig with the side bangs, and mm-hmm. I did like baggy-ish white jeans with like
his soul skateboard.
I didn't even have a skateboard. Oh. No, this was like a very loose cosplay.
Did you have a jacket?
I had a jacket.
Okay.
But it just like I didn't feel like
I wish I had known that before Anime Boston, because I might have requested to borrow that jacket.
Well, it's just purple. It's not purple. So I know part of it's purple, so I just had a purple jacket. Okay. And I used that. I know obviously there are no barriers to entry for people who are in the real world.
Yeah.
You can cosplay whoever the fuck you want. You don't need to look like them. You don't need to have the same body as them. You don't need to be as tall, as muscular, whatever. I have not been able to get over that when it comes to Joe, because he is known specifically for
the six-pack skater.
The six-pack and being tall and being muscular.
You're shorter than
and
so many
I names. Am small. I am 5'2 on a good day.
For reference, I am 5'6 on like a normal day. Yeah. And so many hitties is 5'4 on a normal day. So on a good day, you're 5'2", and so you're already smaller than the rest of us.
Exactly. And so, like, I don't really go to the gym.
Oh, I'm
5'11". 5'11". Yeah, so I don't really go to the gym. I'm not muscular. I'm not, like, a buff person.
Yeah.
And not that I got comments about that, but, like,
Got looks.
I got looks.
It's the self-talk.
It was 99% the self-talk.
Yeah.
But it was also the fact that nobody knew who I was. I was with so many hoodies who was cosplaying Cherry Blossom. Right. Nobody knew who I was.
That's rough.
It was really rough.
Was it Holiday Matsuri 2021?
It was Holiday Matsuri 2022.
Oh, so it was like two. It was a year after.
It was the first whole mat we had ever been to. Wow.
That's a year after the show, the English dub came out. Because the English dub came out in 2021.
Oh, yeah. The English dub had been out for a good while at that point. Because I didn't start watching Skate until the English dub had been out for a few months. I
bullied Ryan into watching it like
30 times. I love Skate. I love it so much. And I was so excited.
Who doesn't love a bunch of queer men skateboarding? Exactly.
But I can never cosplay Joe again. Because I think that's fine.
I say that as a Cherry Blossom like cosplayer, and as Ryan as a Joski.
And I don't even think I could do Cherry either. I don't know why.
I feel like you could pull off a Longa.
I see, and Longa is
you relate to Longa, don't you?
Longa's the one who I would do.
Ryan also like has that problem of wanting to do proper Joe cosplays of that.
No, it's been a huge barrier for me to.
It's hard.
This is what a character is known for. I don't want to.
Exactly. Yeah. When the one asset they're known for is like a physical attribute.
Yeah.
How do you portray that?
Skater.
Yeah. That's literally his name. Cherry Blossom is known as the AI skater, but Joe is known as the six pack skater. Yeah. And it's like, I don't know how you get, like,
I don't envy
people who get over that.
Yeah. Sorry.
I honestly revere them.
Yeah. I am a small person with a belly button ring, and that's about all I can offer you.
Can I offer you a belly button ring?
Speaking of Joe and all his glory.
I have a feeling I know what this question's going to be.
I hope you do. Because I've told you about it before.
Yes.
Who is your favorite big dumb titted up anime man?
Ooh, it's Bokuto from Haikyuu.
I love Bokuto so damn much, that stupid owl bitch.
That's a good one.
Voiced gloriously by Ian St. Clair.
Absolutely.
Suki, suki, suki.
Yeah. He was my...
Liggy, liggy, liggy.
I love that man. Like, true husbando from anime. Because Haikyuu was the first anime I ever watched.
Haikyuu is such a good anime. Yeah. And I will punch Netflix and Crunchyroll in the face for not having the English dub.
I'm this close to writing a strongly worded email.
Because, you know what? Hey, volleyball losers.
Stop fighting in front of my store.
Such a good line. By the voice of Tetsu Tetsu.
Tetsu 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 Tetsu. Tetsu.
I love that man. Fucking Coach Headband.
Oh my God.
My biggest crush in high school and college. Ryan is getting big wide eyes over how much we are fangirling over this shit, but I don't give a fuck.
It's a good show. From what I saw, it was a good show. That's true. I would watch it in dub if it was legal.
I was going to say, good fucking luck.
Yeah, not going to happen.
I love Bokuto. Bokuto is one of my... He's voiced gloriously by Ian St. Clair.
I love him. And I think... Huh?
I was going to say, who's also Brooks.
Oh,
and
I was, yeah.
Reese. And
I was gonna say, I think
that
my,
one fuck from MHA. Oh, what's his name?
Like you were gonna say, sorry.
Oh, I was just gonna say my love of Ian St. Clair developed there. But I want to know who he voiced in My Hero now.
Tentacle.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Tentacle.
You know, like
Shoji.
Shoji. Yeah. Yes.
Is that his hero name? Tentacle.
Tentacle. Is his hero
Cole.
Name?
Oh, his name is Cole, and he's like, I don't have a cool idea. Actually,
he has a giant scar on his face. He's super dope. He's super sweet. What a sweetheart! He doesn't have a lot of lines, but I traumatized Ian St. Clair by saying one of his lines, which is like, "You have no idea what it means to be a hero of those that hate you."
Aww,
it's a very cute line.
Shoji's so sweet.
But Bokuto has the line of "Suki, suki, luki, luki." Which is a much more fun line, and they also rant about meat.
Meat, dinner, and a side of meat.
It's so fun. Ryan is staring at us at the end. For those who haven't watched Haikyuu, at the end of the second season, when they are at the end of the training camp arc, they finally win a game. They win a set. And so Daichi is like, you get to have a meat. You get to eat off the banquet. You get a meat. And so, or was it Hinata and...
Kags.
And...
Baldi. Yeah, literally, what the fuck? Tanaka.
Tanaka, there we go. Like, go on a chant about meat
dinner. Do their little dance.
They do their little dance.
And I highly recommend looking this up on YouTube if you're interested.
Also, just look up the best of Bogota, because there's also a line where he's like, I don't want this to be the last time I play volleyball with you guys. And his crush throughout the entire season, because Haikyuu is very gay, is like, what the fuck are you talking about?
So I guess they do play together again.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good.
I think.
Spoiler alert. Spoiler
alert. Yeah, I have no context here.
Ryan is like very confused about these volleyball
Ryan's
losers.
Ryan's first time watching the volleyball losers was at Anime Boston this year.
And it was adorable.
And it was amazing. It was one of the best parts of the con.
With one of my favorite Marine friends. And so I'm hoping while I'm out in San Diego, we will go see the movie.
And eat crayons
while I have a distinguished...
popcorn.
Normal naval officer dinner. But that's the end of our episode here at Cosplay Con Crunch Podcast.
Ocean water?
Is that what the Navy eats?
It's all around you.
We just drink seawater. I think that would kill us.
Maybe.
I've been your host, MJ. You can find me on Instagram and TikTok at cosplay_Cajun. My lovely husbando has been our co-host.
Yes, and you can find me on Instagram as WriteJoyConRide.
New Instagram plug.
It's kind of fun.
New plug is fun. I like it. And you can also find the pod at cosplay_concrunch podcast on Instagram. I'll eventually make a TikTok, but not yet. Where can we find you, our lovely fun guest and friend?
Yeah, once again, you can find me on Instagram. I'm at @DanDoesDressUp. And I know I didn't spell it before, but I'm going to do it anyway, because I know you couldn't find MJ. So it's at @DanDoesDressUp.
Whoa.
Dan Does Dress Up. No spaces, no
symbols. I love how
you
spelled that, because I wasn't sure what, rhythm you would go. I love the rhythm you chose.
Thanks. It was
just adorable.
Letters.
Thanks. I won the spelling bee, actually.
Thank y'all both so much for having me. This was a lot of fun.
If you want to, we're going to bully you back on when KonamiCon comes around, because we're going to play anime games. So, as always, Cosplay Con Crunch is part of the Rocktopus Network of podcasts. You can find out more about our podcast and other podcasts like it at rocktopusnetwork.com. I'm going to shout out specifically Tale of Nowheres, where Spencer is currently the DM.
Woo!
It is a similar cast of characters spread throughout many different tabletop role-playing systems and games. So if you are interested into inverse and complex narrative storytelling and what it's like to have a character built in a Pathfinder system have to play a Call of Cthulhu system, go check out Tales of Nowhere on wherever you listen to podcasts. You can find them on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, or Spotify. Thank you for checking us out, and we will see you next time.